Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to A Fine Time for Healing, a sanctuary for your emotional well-being. Your host is Randy Fine, author of the memoir Finally, and the inspirational self-help book Awaken from Life. Here's Randy.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine. Today I have a really interesting show, and I've never done a show on this particular topic, so I'm really excited to do this. We have with us today Dawn Marie Westmoreland, who was formerly a victim of severe bullying for being a Veteran Affairs whistleblower. It took landing in the mental health ward to realize that some gifts come in ugly wrapping paper. Today, Dawn is a workplace anti-bullying speaker, author, coach, and HR consultant. She has been featured on over 50 radio interviews and lauded by the Christian Science Monitor for the work she is doing to empower others. Dawn was sent to educate senators on the need to protect conscientious whistleblowers like herself by the Concerned Veterans for America. And you can learn more about Dawn on theempoweredwhistleblower.com, and we'll repeat that later on in the show. So let me introduce you to my very, very special guest, Dawn Westmoreland. Good morning, Dawn.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, I'm doing great. Thank you so much for being my guest today.
Yes, I'm down in Savannah today, heading back to my hometown in Asheville, North Carolina.
That's great. All right, so you're on the road, huh?
I'm on the road.
You're on the road. Okay, well, we can do that. So why don't we start off by you telling your story about what happened?
Sure. Well, you know, I'd like to start out saying that sometimes our gifts come in ugly wrapping paper. I'm retired from the Air Force. I spent 20 years in the Air Force, and I retired about 12 years ago. And I ended up working for the Veteran Affairs in Asheville, North Carolina. So I have 22 years background in HR and multiple degrees in business management and HR. And I started working for what's called the MACPAC, the Mid-Atlantic Consolidated Patient Accounting Center, MACPAC. It's a mouthful. And it's a VA agency in West Asheville. And I noticed nepotism, hiring of family and friends, which is illegal in the government, but it's very common these days. And I saw a bunch of other prohibited personnel practices. So what I did was I spoke out, and as soon as I did, you could say all hell, it came loose. So I suffered a lot of injustices. I was put on administrative leave for over 100 days, stalked, and paycheck was cut off. I'm single. It was very hard on me. All the harassment after 2 years of horrific bullying landed me in the mental health ward. So I looked at myself the third day in this metal mirror, and I looked at a person I didn't even recognize. I had yellow skin. I had purple all around my eyes, and I really hated that person in the mirror. And I remember telling myself, you know, you are the biggest bully in your life, you're the biggest bully, because you're buying into this victimhood. And that's when I made a life deciding choice to change my belief system, to change my thoughts, and to overcome it. So fast forward, I did settle in March of 2014 with the Veteran Affairs. So I am a successful government whistleblower, and I also purposely refused to sign a gag order to stay quiet about my story and helping other people. And I did that because I knew that last year that I was going through all of this for a good reason, and I knew I had been the perfect person to go through this. So I settled without a gag order, and then I wrote The Empowered Whistleblower, which is a story, you know, about how I came to realize the biggest bully was me, and it has a lot of tips in it. So today I am starting a third book, an online course about standing up to workplace bullying and discrimination. I'm speaking, I'm consulting all around workplace bullying and discrimination. So again, you know, to wrap it up, you know, sometimes there gets come in ugly wrapping paper. I would not be doing what I'm doing today if I did not go through workplace bullying.
That's so true. That's so true. It does these kind of things, although they set us back and they can be horrible to go through when we're going through them, really can propel us into being a stronger person, a more empowered person, and like you say, a career, which is what happened with me with, you know, being a narcissistic abuse survivor. Now I'm a narcissistic abuse expert. So, yeah, you know, it's the same kind of thing. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger, right?
Yeah, it really, really does. Yeah, because now I have other Veteran Affairs whistleblowers reaching out to me, and I just helped one of the biggest ones out there, Brandon Coleman, and he has given permission to talk about him. He spoke out about mental health patients leaving the Phoenix, Arizona VA Medical Center too early or not getting the right care. And one young man went out and basically blew his brains out in the parking lot. So Brandon spoke out as a whistleblower, and just as soon as he did, the Veteran Affairs tried to fire him, harass him, break him down, just like they did me. So I saw him, heard about him, I reached out to him, and for the past year I've given him guidance, mostly HR guidance. And now, you know, I know how to navigate the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission hearings and stuff. I know all that. So I helped him with it, and he just settled a week ago, and he just gave me a great testimonial for helping him. It's now behind him.
Incredible. Because most of us would think that we cannot go up against the government in any way, shape, or form, especially military or any of those organizations, because there's so much corruption that being an honest person doesn't necessarily work. Now, you said you were a single person when this happened. Did you have to hire a lawyer, or did you do all the lawyering yourself?
I love that question. You know, people reach out to me all the time, and they're like, Dawn, who's your lawyer? I said, well, let me tell you something. I did have a very kind, very educated, very compassionate lawyer, but I did all the paperwork. I built my case. That's what I do today, is I teach others how to properly document so that they can have a positive outcome, you know, if they're being bullied. And so I presented it to my attorney, and, of course, he was shocked. I mean, not every day an HR expert comes with, you know, 2 feet of documentation. But it was that documentation that solely earned me that victory of being able to settle without a gag order to stay quiet. He did not add anything to it. Of course he did his job as an expert attorney. He reviewed it, he presented it, and basically we settled. I had no witnesses. Well, I had one, but we didn't have to bring her forward. It's just, you know, I'm an expert when it comes to HR advice, and I'm an expert when it comes to this kind of thing. So, yeah, I brought him in.
How does the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission work? How do they handle these kind of cases?
Well, the way they handle it is you have to file for discrimination. And a lot of times, here's something really important of everything I say with you today, Randy. This is the most important thing for anybody to understand and to remember. First of all, there's no law against somebody being bullied, harassed, you know, abused in the workplace. There's nothing out there. Now, if they are discriminated against, and you can go to EEOC.gov, which is the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission website, it will tell you the different grounds and classes that can file for discrimination. Because when somebody generally is being bullied, they're also generally being discriminated against, because according to the Veteran Affairs that rated me, I'm considered a severely disabled veteran. So one of the ways that my managers punished me was to make my work environment hostile and to not accommodate my disability needs, okay? Mm. If you were to meet me, you'd never guess I'm disabled, but sometimes disabilities are not out there out front. So if somebody files immediately a discrimination case, it could be AIDS, sex, they could be LGBT discrimination, you know, something like that, once they get that charge in to the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, they are in a protected status. So most discrimination cases are not validated. The people that end up getting a settlement generally are people who get retaliated against or bullied or harassed, okay? So let's say you just put a page of information in, I'm being discriminated because of, you know, age. I just helped a lady in Minnesota who's being discriminated for age, and you put in, you know, I'm being discriminated, it's on file, you're in a protected status. So at that time, bullying matters, you know, in a legal sense, because you're in a protected status, and you get back with the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission and say, hey, I have filed, and here's what's going on. You know, I've been denied a promotion. You know, they're trying to fire me. Any kind of retaliation. And you can assign the case manager, and you run this by the case manager, and they will say, yes, you know, this sounds like a valid concern, you know, a valid retaliation. And then you file retaliation, which becomes two cases. And probably because of ease of, you know, simplicity, oftentimes the judge, the administrative judge, will combine the cases. So that's really important. When I tell people, don't keep getting beat up at work, okay? Because you can't file for bullying retaliation until after you filed, either at state-level discrimination, and every state has their own discrimination, you know, agencies you can reach out to, you can Google, or you can go to the Government Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, that's a mouthful, and file. And once you're in your protected status with them, any kind of retaliation at all, anything, and then that's where you get them over a barrel. You know, good documentation and keep reporting them.
How fearful were you during this process? Because you never know what people are capable of in retaliation.
Yeah, I never liked to act like some heroine, like I'm this, you know, crazy woman that's just so, you know, not full of fear. I, you know, there was times I was very concerned for my safety. I'm single. I pretty much did this all on my own. My family's in another state. Yes, you know, they were concerned. Yes, we're all close, but basically I did all of it all, you know, by myself. So, you know, I was extra vigilant. You know, I knew my phone was being monitored, my cell phone, my private cell phone. And I'll tell you why I knew it was, because for over a year there was another whistleblower, and she ironically is a coworker of mine. And when I would call her, because she retired early with disabilities from the Veteran Affairs, and then I would call a loved one of mine in another state, I actually, this is hard to believe, Randy, but I would have to call the number, hang up, call the number, hang up five times, the sixth time, it's like it broke the code or whatever, and then I could talk to my family member or the other whistleblower. And the hysterical thing about it is the day after I settled, that problem went away.
Amazing. Wow.
It's
so scary that they can do these things. It's so scary.
Yeah, and, you know, it could not possibly come from the local level, you know, from the VA agency where I'm at, it would have to come from somebody that would have the ability to do that at a higher level.
Like CIA, FBI, those kind of things.
Or National Security Agency, yes.
Right. You know, Dawn, there might be a caller. Somebody has called in. They might just be calling in to listen. So let me just double check, okay?
Absolutely.
This is area code 563. Are you calling to speak with Dawn?
I was just listening. Thanks.
You're just listening. Okay. Thanks so much. Okay. Okay. All right. So how do people document what they're experiencing? What is the best way to do that?
Well, one of the things that I tell people to do is go to my website. I've written over 40-something articles. I have a third book coming out this summer and an online course coming out this summer, and I'm very detailed about it. If you go to theempoweredwhistleblower.com, you will see the blogs, and you can go there and have an article about documenting, or you could even just Google my name, Dawn Marie Westmoreland, and documenting, and it'll come up. There's a YouTube video. So in a nutshell, it's more than just writing down XYZ happened today. There's art and science to it, and this is how I've helped other people get settlements in that deserve settlements, you know, for harassment and discrimination, is, yeah, you write down the who, what, where, when, why. You're very objective. You cannot be subjective. You can't say, I feel. It's got to be, this happened on this date with this person, this person. So let's say this is going on for a long time. For me, it was over 2 years of harassment. You know, people over my shoulder, people spying on me. You know, people telling me, watch out for my food and my water. And people even being offered promotions to spy on me. So I would... when I saw my doctor, I was really blessed with good doctors, and I would ask them to please document that I was going through workplace bullying and to clearly document how it was harming me mentally and physically, and they did. They did a great job. And then I would also set up the people that were harassing me, because there's a tigress in me. I spent 20 years in the Air Force with a bunch of men, you know. In 85, when I went in the Air Force, there were 11% women. When I got out in 2005, it was about 20%. So I've been around a bunch of men most of my life, and I've had to get tough. So this was the hardest thing to do, but I had to swallow my pride. So I would send an email. Because you don't want to do it verbally. You got to have proof. You got to have a documentation trail. So I would send an email to some of the top people or directly to the people that were denying me promotions, that were downgrading my evaluations, even though I was doing, you know, good work and such. And I would just tell them, you know, for example, for you to charge me absent without leave, which is, it's an offense that you can be fired, you know, for taking proper procedures to see a medical doctor as a disabled veteran, I would tell them, this violates, you know, XYZ regulation, and it's illegal. And, you know, your continual harassment, and this is important, your continual harassment and bullying towards me is harming me mentally and physically. I mean, you have to swallow your pride. It's not about how strong you can be, because I'm very, very strong. But after a lot of harassment, anybody can be broken. So I did that. I document what was going on in the workplace. I sent emails telling them, you know, what they were doing. And this is the HR person in me. I would not expect everybody to know, you know, every law and HR policy that's being broken. But I would turn around and, you know, tell the, you know, the top management, hey, you know, this is going on. I don't understand why you're writing me up and charging me illegally. And then I would tell them, you know, in separate emails, hey, this harassment is harming me mentally and physically, you know, and it needs to stop. And, of course, you know, sometimes I would get, you know, derogatory comments back. And it didn't matter if they responded to me or not. What I did was I developed a documentation trail. And then I emailed, I didn't email at home. That's one thing I tell people, don't do it, because what happens is they're monitoring your work phone, your email, I actually printed it out and hand carried it home. And so when I carried it home, you know, of course I had it hidden and stuff and such. And I had my house on the market at that time too. And there's no telling who was in my house, you know, when I wasn't there, you know, when it was being shown by a realtor.
Well, you know, as you're talking about this, I'm thinking about, you know, I explain to people that are in the process of maybe getting a divorce from a narcissist and there's children involved, and I always say document, 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 you know. But I would imagine that this would be something good really for anyone who needs to document any kind of harassment, right?
You know,
how to document workplace bullying?
I tell people all the time, Randy, to document, just like I was saying right now, because I've had adults get a hold of me, their child's being bullied, you know, in the school. And so I explained, I said, well, it's very, very similar. I said, you know, start at the lowest level, so you showed that you tried at the lowest level. You know, tell them what's going on, how it's affecting your child mentally, physically. If they don't do anything that's positive, proactive, start going up, start going up, start going up. Mm-hmm. Eventually, they're going to see a chain of documentation and that you're not giving up. And they don't want to get into a lawsuit. Because if you get in a lawsuit or, you know, there's the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission charges or something, you know, in one case it was a discrimination, a disability discrimination situation, this could tie these people up for years. For years, I know one girl's going on 5 years for racial discrimination, and the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission triages each case. So it's based off of severity. So I had one of the worst cases in North Carolina, maybe in other states, because I had a hearing within 1 year, and that's just unheard of. So when people are able to prove they have all this documentation, it doesn't take the brightest person in the world at the top of that management or agency to think, oh, my gosh, you know, maybe we need to do something proactive or help that person, because you can absolutely be tied up with years with investigations, with paperwork, with legal fees, and it's hard for the agency to be productive if all they're doing is answering the EEOC, for example, or state discrimination agencies.
Right. So you have to be the squeaky wheel. Do you recommend mostly emailing or texting? Does texting work? Like if they were tapping into your phone and you were texting, would they have been able to delete those texts or not?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know the answer to that, Randy. You know, it's very possible that, you know, at that level, you know, from a higher level up, you know, somebody that's spying, they can certainly tap into your phone. They can tap into your computer. When I was lauded by the Christian Science Monitor, I was compared to Edward Snowden, and, you know, whether you're a fan of Edward Snowden or not or what he did, you know, he brought truth to the world that, you know, Big Brother is watching over you and listening into your phone calls and your emails and such. So it's very possible that they, you know, they could see your text. And I knew for a year they were listening in, and it was, of course, it was mentally draining. I mean, who wants to have somebody listen in? But you never know when somebody's listening in, you know?
Right.
But
so you print out,
you know,
everything? You print out all your emails?
I did. I had about 2 feet of documentation. I would document something, you know, print it, and I kept it upon my person all the time. I mean, I'm not joking when I kept it really close to me. Even when I went to lunch, you know, I would run it out to my truck. And then I'd make copies in case anything disappeared. And I tell you, you know, people that are acting bad, they're going to mess up. Because I know there were two guys that were poking fun at me for filing my EEOC case. And they accidentally added me to the email. And as soon as they send it out, blasting me and mocking me, making fun of me, I, you know, with my HR background as a manager, I'm really quick on email. I brought it up. I'm like, whoa, this is illegal what they're doing. And I showed it as retaliation. But within 30 seconds, one of the guys realized he couldn't recall it. He tried. I'd already opened it. And, you know, I printed it out, basically stuffed it down my shirt. And that guy, he knew he was in deep trouble. He come running up to me with tears in his eyes saying he didn't mean it. And I told him to, you know, hit the road and get lost. And he did mean it, you know, that he's just sorry that he made the mistake and added me on the email.
That's incredible.
So,
that was the day your angel was with you. Your angel was watching over you.
I think so, too, because I've heard other stories like that, and I think that is maybe our guardian angel or, you know, if you don't believe in angels, you know, some divine intervention that is mm-hmm. watching out for us.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I just think it is because I, you know, I had different breaks. And, you know, probably the most interesting part of the whole process was, you know, after I did check out of the mental health ward, it was still a year down the road. My paycheck had been cut off illegally, and I'm living hand to mouth, and my credit's destroyed, and I'm trying to sell the nice big house that I'd worked hard for to downsize. But I kept it together, and I learned a lot of skills of survival and being empowered and being strong. And then when my attorney, he came in at the end. I brought him at the very, very end to represent me as a formality. When he came in and we deposed two of the worst two bullies, when they saw me in the legal office, both of them looked like they were going to pass out. And, you know, I'm a nice person. I'm no nonsense. And that's probably the military in me. But I actually felt sorry for him because I realized, too, they're victims, too. But, you know, they're still... We still have to hold people accountable, okay? So maybe they have been mistreated in their life, and that's why they bully other people. But, you know, we can't let that system of abuse go on and on and on. We can't. So I held them accountable, and I even went to the refrigerator and got some water for me, and I asked two of the top managers, hey, would you like some water and Coke? And I was serving them. I was being nice while we were depositioning them. And if I could have videotaped it, the fear in their eyes, you know, one-on-one, they're scared to death. They get the group mentality thing going at work when they think they can gang up on you. And that's what they had been doing. They'd been ganging up on a bunch of people. But I'm like, you're not gonna break me, and I'm going to turn you in. I'm going to hold you accountable, and I did.
This is such an amazing, empowering story for all of us. I just think this is incredible. So when employees are being bullied, what do they do wrong? What is the first thing that they do? What's the mistakes that they make?
The bullies, what are the mistakes that they make?
The mistakes that the employee who is being bullied makes. What do they make? That is going to negatively influence their case.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Okay. First of all, one of the biggest things is that they snap back at the person that's bullying them, and that could be a supervisor or coworker or something like that. And it's hard to take the high road. It really is really hard to do it, but you have to. You cannot you can't lose your professionalism. You cannot lose your cool. So they're going to try to break you. They're going to try to engage you in snapping back at them so that they can write you up, but they won't write themselves up, not documenting right. And like I was discussing, you know, there's like three things to documenting what's going on, you know, making sure your medical records or your psychiatric records are updated, you know, reflecting the harm to you. And then the third thing is, you know, letting these bullies know that what they're doing to you is harming you mentally and physically. And you don't have to go in detail. You don't have to say, hey, I'm suffering from migraines, I can't sleep at night. No. You just make sure your doctors or the medical staff's updating that.
Okay.
Now, if you end up going to court, you may have to present those records, you know, in the discovery phase. But That's the most important thing is documenting. Most people don't know how to do it right or enough of it.
Good advice. So are there other tips that you can give the listeners, my listeners who may be in similar situations?
Yeah, I freely admit that I become absolutely, totally obsessed with holding them accountable. And there's nothing wrong with that. But where I failed, and I teach others today, is self-care. I was not getting enough sleep. I was not getting enough exercise. And I was spending hours upon hours on the computer researching. And, yes, it did pay off. It did pay off. You know, the ending is a really good, positive ending. But my health declined. And like I said, when I looked in the mirror that third day in that metal mirror in the mental health ward, I didn't even know who I was. I mean, my skin really was yellow, like I had hepatitis. I had
scary, powerful,
you know, triangles under my eyes, and, you know, I lost a lot of weight, and I was miserable. So the quality of my life was gone. So you have to find good balance, and I just wrote about this, and I already have the draft done for my book that's coming out. It'll be a formula to standing up to workplace bullying. And I'm talking about different strategies, and everybody resonates with, you know, different self-care. It could be massage. It could be healing energy work. It could be hypnosis. You know, it could be yoga. It could be walking. It could be gardening. There's so many things that you can do, but you have to have balance in your life, and that's where I really messed up.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense, because if we – yeah, you know, in any situation, we have to take care of ourselves before we can do anything, because then we don't have the strength, and stress is so bad for our health, and we can end up with illnesses that complicate things. So we really have to be careful to do that. I know on your website, theempoweredwhistleblower.com, you have a complimentary 20-minute consultation called Find Your Voice or Strength. Can you tell me about that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. For the radio folks that listen in, you know, the listeners, they can contact me by going to my website, theempoweredwhistleblower.com. They can find an email. All they have to do is email me, say they heard me on your show. They would like the 20-minute complimentary session, and I will set that up.
Okay. That's great.
So they might have questions. A lot of times people just need one good answer, you know, to kind of set them free to break their chains of disempowerment. And oftentimes it's just something as simple as if they're being discriminated, it's me telling them you're not in a protected status and can't claim bullying until you file discrimination charges at your state level or the EEOC. And boy, that's $1 million investment in themselves, you know. Because
that's
once
right.
They do that, they're in a protected status, and anything and everything that comes after them, boy, they get to claim everything. It's amazing.
Wow, such good advice. And the average person has no experience with this. They would not think to do that. So, you know, the first thing we think of is go get a lawyer or something like that. But this is such great, great advice that everyone can use, even if it's not affecting them in their workplace. It's just, it's incredible. Is there anything that you want to share, Dawn? And I'd like you to tell us a little bit about your book or books. Is there anything you want to share that we haven't covered?
Yeah, you know, and I like what you brought that up about the lawyers. You know, lawyers are very important because they cover the legal aspects. But I've told quite a few people, you know, maybe you do need an attorney, but why not wait to the end when you actually really need the attorney? Right now is you need advice. And see, if you go to, you know, the average attorney, and I don't mean that they're average, but I'm just saying, you know, any attorney, they're not going to tell you how to document like I did. I'm an HR expert for 22 years, and I'm going to teach people how to be effective so that they have everything together. They're also getting some coaching because I'm a professional coach too. They're learning how to keep it together mentally, keep it centered, because a lot of these people have good cases, but they cannot keep it all together. and they end up throwing in the towel.
Right.
So I'm like a cheerleader, too. So, yeah, and this summer, I've already finished the draft. I have an online course, and it's going to be a step-by-step formula, how to stand up to workplace bullying. And that's whether, I don't care what job you are in, government, state, private, it's going to help everybody out there that's dealing with workplace bullying discrimination to know their rights so they become educated to make wise decision if they want to process, you know, charges with attorney at state level, you know, for discrimination at government level. It will have a ton of resources. It will have every tip and trick, and I say trick because in a sense I did trick my management, not in dishonesty, but I trapped them by telling them, you know, you're harming me mentally and physically. And it was true because my medical records were reflecting the fact that I landed in the mental health ward was not a joke. I mean, it was all proven. So I did trap them. So I teach people how to do this, too, because there are many people being bullied and they're seeking their doctor's care and help. And if they can tie all the loose ends, dot the dots, wow, what a powerful outcome they can have in their favor.
You are a godsend to all of us. This is so amazing that you do this, that you've gone through this, and that you can do this for others because, like I said, you know, we're so lost when it comes to these kind of things, and we feel so emotional because we're being hurt, we're being attacked, and we react in a human way. We respond emotionally and with anger and retaliation and all those kind of things, and that does not serve us well. We need to have a level head and come to you. Come to you and be guided.
Well,
this is the way to go. And let's see, you have the book that I have that you wrote. Let's see. Okay, so The Empowered Whistleblower is your book?
That's my first book. It's, you know, my story of landing in the mental health ward, but it also talks about, you know, how to overcome the victimhood in general, because it could be anything in your life that you're a victim of, and, you know, it doesn't have to be workplace bullying, but, you know, once we realize the biggest bullies are ourselves often, is that we can make change in our life, we can change our thoughts, which form our belief system, you know, we can learn to empower ourselves. And I tell people, you know, when you're being bullied, okay, it's a little different when you're me. I mean, I was a government whistleblower. They were not coming after me because I was weak. They were coming after me because I turned about 15 people in. It's a whole different story. But on average, most people that are bullied at work, and there's all kind of statistics out there, about a third of them are usually kind, compassionate, empathetic, empaths. You know, people that are very sensitive, they're kind, they're human, they want to get along with others. And the bullies deem them and they look at them as they're weak and, you know, they're also a threat to the bully because oftentimes somebody that's smarter, more experienced, or more gifted than a bully is a threat. So I often tell people to consider what is the gift in this experience. Yes, hold them accountable, and I'll teach you how. But what is the gift in this, okay? Do you need to love yourself more? Do you need to have more self-respect? Because you're putting that energetic energy out to these people, you know, telling them, you know, that you don't love yourself as much if you're being bullied. In some cases, not in every. Like I said, my case was very different.
Right. I just, yeah, I'm so glad that you came on to be my guest today because I think this there's so many people out there that are going to respond to this. This affects all of us in some way. It happens in schools. I mean, I had situations with my children in schools with terrible bullying, and I could get no one to help me. And it became a situation where I had to pull them out, put them in private school. So this has got to stop.
Yeah, when you hold them accountable, but the thing is most people don't know how to hold them accountable. When you can learn how to hold people accountable and you hold them over a barrel, I was 2 days before the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission hearing, and the Veteran Affairs attorneys were begging me to sign a settlement. And I really wanted to go to the hearing, but, you know, you'll seldom find, I believe, an attorney that wants to go to a hearing when, you know, the agency wants to settle. So to get 2 days before, and I'm calling the shot saying, nope, you know, we're going back and forth with settlement, you know, amending it and such. Nope, I will not sign a gag order, stay quiet. Because it's much bigger than me, Randy. It's, you know, depending where you go, if you go to Forbes.com and just Google workplace bullying, you know, you'll find a great article out there that says up to 96% of employees are bullied in the workplace in the U.S. Some people might say that's high, but the contacts and the people that reach out to me almost nearly daily leads me to believe it's super high out there.
Okay.
For workplace bullying discrimination.
Okay. Well, I have to say goodbye to you now because the show is almost over. And again, I want to thank you so much. I know that all my listeners have benefited greatly, and I urge all of you to reach out to Dawn Westmoreland and TheEmpoweredWhistleblower.com. So thank you, Dawn. Keep up the great work. You're helping so many people.
Thanks, Randy. And it was a pleasure to talk to you today. And thank you for all the good work you're doing to help empower people, too.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. So that's it for today. Our time is up. But if you have any comments about today's show or any other shows, you can email me at loveyourlife@randygfine.com. Randy is RandyGFine.com. And you can stop by my website, randygfine.com, and that's where I have links to everything I do. It's my hub. There's links to every show, archived and upcoming. So you can go there and go directly to the link, and you'll be able to listen to the show from there. My counseling practice, you can access that through my website, randygfine.com. So pretty much everything about me is there. Great articles, many articles that you can read, hundreds of them, something for everyone. All my shows are archived after broadcasting and can be listened to at your convenience on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, or through the show links on my website. So thanks again for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. This is Talk Radio show host, author, and life issues counselor Randy Fine signing off until next time. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Randy at her website, Randy G. Fine, RandyGFine.com. Join her next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing.
Hard not to hesitate, but we can't wait to be the change. There's a better way.